Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by Manapro, providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. Manapro, nurturing life. My name is Andy Schneider, but most know me as the Chicken Whisperer. My co-host is poultry advocate and author of City Chicks, Chicken Tractor, and other great titles, Pat Foreman. Today is wonderful Wednesday, November 9th, and I would like to thank all of you for tuning in this afternoon on Blog Talk Radio. This is a live radio show that is broadcast around the world. This radio show is all about keeping backyard poultry, show poultry, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. You can follow the Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer radio show 24 hours a day at our website, chickenwhisperer.com. That's chickenwhisperer.com. From there, you can follow us on Twitter and become a fan on Facebook. If you're listening live today on Blog Talk Radio, I invite you to join us in the live chicken chat room that's going on right now. You can talk with other backyard poultry with the Chicken Whisperer fans and other chicken owners from around the world. You can also ask any questions you may have for our special guest when we have them on. If you're listening live right now, you're automatically in the chat room. Just scroll down a little bit on your computer screen. You'll see you're in there as a guest if you haven't already registered. Come on and join us. To click on the register button, that'll get you your own unique, fun, and creative screen name. Then you, too, can come on in, sit a spell, have a great time, meet some new friends, and talk all about our hobby and passion of backyard poultry, show poultry, sustainable living, urban farming and gardening, preparedness, and a whole lot more. I would also like to invite you to mark this radio show as a favorite and request to be on our friends list while you're there at Blog Talk Radio. We hope you'll take a moment to do this today, and again, I want to thank you all for tuning in to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by Manapro. Manapro is committed to providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. No matter the animal, no matter the product, you can be certain that Manapro cares as much about the well-being of your flock as you do. So try one of the many poultry products offered at a retailer near you. Manapro, nurturing life.
If you have experienced the disappointment of broken or weak eggshells, try Manapro's Oyster Shell. Adding oyster shell to your flock's feeding program helps provide the calcium they need for strong eggshells. So don't let those beautiful eggs go to waste. Try Manapro's Oyster Shell for your pullets and layers.
Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry, from rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams. Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. Visit them online at idealpoultry.com. That's idealpoultry.com.
Hey ladies, do you have a hard time finding the perfect gift for that animal lover on your list? I did, but not anymore. I shop at HobbyHillFarm.com. They have a great selection of dog, cat, horse, and chicken gifts that are not only cute, but affordable too. Check them out at HobbyHillFarm.com and become a Facebook fan at Facebook.com/HobbyHillFarm to receive updates on new products and special discounts. I just know you're going to love HobbyHillFarm.com. I do.
You've ordered your new baby chicks and even have the brooder prepared. But now it's time to order that new chicken coop. My Amish Goods offers quality-built chicken coops for every size, flock, and budget. They have many styles and colors to choose from and will ship them fully assembled right to your front door. Act now and receive a special upgrade at no additional charge. Visit them online at myamishgoods.com. That's myamishgoods.com.
Looking for an all-natural way to keep your flock healthy from intestinal parasites? Tired of wasting all those eggs due to a long withdrawal period? The answer is Vermex. With no artificial chemicals, Vermex has been a huge success for many species, offering a completely natural way to address intestinal hygiene control and improve general health. Check out the online store at www.vermexusa.com, V-E-R-M-X-USA.com, to see what products you need to keep your animals healthy. Vermex, natural control of intestinal parasites.
Hi, I'm country music artist Nathan Osmond, and you're listening to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer.
And the mighty bird against prejudice continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
How about that? Thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. And it is Wonderful Wednesday, also known as Hump Day to some. And we're getting through this week slowly but surely. Yes, we are. We thank you for tuning in today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. It is a special Wednesday because we have a repeat guest for this week. Monday, we were so fortunate to have Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor, join us. And again, he will be joining us today. So again, another day of the Chicken Doctor, Peter Brown, founder of First State Vet Supply. He'll be joining us probably in just a few minutes. And then we've got tomorrow, it looks like we're going to have Richard Frudenberger, publisher of Back Home Magazine, is going to be joining us tomorrow. And then, of course, another fun Friday. He'll be here before we know it, before we know it. See, the chat room's a little slow to fill up, but slowly but surely it is. Of course, we've got Carmen in there. Hello, Carmen. We've got Dragonflyer. We've got East Dallas Dave. Several guests. Guests, we would like to invite you to go ahead and click on the register button, and that'll get you your own unique, fun, and creative screen name like the rest of us in there that are now starting to pile in. We got Kevin, we've got Kim, we've got Pamela, we've got Ralph, we got Vanessa, and lots of others. How come I just had a flashback to Romper Room? Do y'all remember Romper Room? Wasn't it Romper Room where at the end of the show the teacher would hold up a magnifying glass? And she would look out into the camera and say, I see Carmen, and I see COJ Chickens, I see Dragonflyer, ooh, I see East Dallas Dave, and I see Kevin, and Kim, and Pamela, and Ralph, and Vanessa. I'm dating my age, I guess, with the Romper Room, but I just had a flashback going through all the people who were in the chat room. So who remembers Romper Room? Anybody in the chat room remember that back there with Sesame Street and the Electric Company? Oh my goodness gracious! So we're having a good day here on the homestead. In fact, I got a special treat for you. I'm gonna try to do something here. Well, of course, we don't have our awesome. Yeah, Carmen, she never said my name either. Every day I watch that silly show just so I could maybe be lucky enough that she saw me. And there's Andy, and I see Laura, and I see Jennifer, and she never said my name either. Made me so mad, I remember that. You're not the only one, Carmen. 347-637-3237 is the number to call if you want to talk to Peter Brown, the Chicken Doctor here. And I'm going to see if I can't. I'm going to call in myself here just a second. There we go. Got a special treat. We got a lot. Okay, I'm in the host queue. Perfect. On my satellite phone. So give me just a second. Get back over here to the chat room. I'm going to put my headset on mute since we don't have the studio live and all the wireless stuff hooked up like we are when we're on the road. I'm just going to calling from my sat phone, but I got a couple of things to share with you we're working on today. It's a pretty cool day here at the homestead, so I'm going to set this down here for a second, put my headset on mute for a minute.
Okay, let's see if this is working. Can everybody hear me in the chat room? I know we're on about a 25-second delay, so I'm going to give you about 25 seconds. But just type in the chat room if you can hear me. I can hear me through my headset, but I'm calling in on the sat phone and want to see. We're just going to go out and talk to my buddy Philip and see what he's got up his sleeve today here on the homestead. Pat is still ill. In fact, she's going to the ALBC convention in Kansas. I think she leaves tomorrow, so she for sure didn't need to be on the radio show yapping. And so she needs to get feeling better and get her throat back into order and get feeling back juvenated, because she is going. Hang on just a minute. Yeah, as long as you can hear me, I won't be on this phone that long. We need to get her rejuvenated, and she's going to be flying out there to Kansas for the ALBC convention. And then she starts a West Coast book tour. And, and today's her birthday. So I thought it was yesterday, but I found out what happened. Yesterday, after midnight, or I guess it would have been the day before, after midnight, I got a little alert that said, tomorrow is Pat Forman's birthday. But see, it was already after midnight, so they were posting it as if it were Wednesday, not Tuesday. So I thought, oh, her birthday's tomorrow. So no big deal. Pat can celebrate her birthday all year round, because everybody's a winner, and she deserves to be a winner every single day, and we can give her a gift every single day for her birthday. I'm sure she would love that. In fact, she might be listening today. So, Pat, if you are, you get to feeling better. Lots and lots and lots and lots of love and prayers and vibes and energy heading your way. So as the chat room slowly but surely fills up, if you would, go and share this on your Facebook page. Get lots and lots of more people in there. Boy, the chat room's been full lately. In fact, yesterday we had somebody listening live and in the chat room from Norway, which doesn't surprise me. We've had listeners and chatters in the chat room from all over the world over the last 3 years. Walking into the hallway of the old farmhouse, and I know you can't smell it out there in radio land, but the CW is cooking down some fresh turnip greens from the garden. And boy, oh boy, do they smell delicious. And I got them in a big, big cast iron pot. They're in a big cast iron pot on the stove. I put about 4 pieces of ham hock in there. And I filled the, when you broil greens, they all boil down into almost nothing. But I filled the pot probably about 3/4 of the way full, set my 4 pieces of ham hock on top, added just a tad little bit, maybe about a tablespoon, maybe somewhere between a teaspoon and a tablespoon of a sugar, and a little bit of sea salt, and it was organic sugar. I'm looking at the package now. And to go with my Piggly Wiggly ham hocks, like that matters, got good sea salt, organic granulated sugar, and then of course the turnip greens are good, and no chemicals used, right out of the garden, picked this morning. And but of course I got the Piggly Wiggly ham hock, so it's smelling up the house absolutely amazing. Wish y'all were here and could smell that. It smells so good. And then after the show, I'm going to be making a fresh round of cornbread that we'll have with our turnip greens. I'm walking outside of the homestead now, and I'm trying to see if I see Philip. He may have gone down to the store for a minute, but I do see some smoke over here. Let me walk out here. Yeah, like I said, he may have headed down to the store to get something for lunch. But we're walking across the back 40 here. There's Philip. Philip's gathering some greens. Philip, we are live on the radio, my friend. Yes, we are. So I put my headset down and put my got the sat phone going on, and looks like you're picking some greens. Who are those for? Your aunt wanted some good old turnip greens. So we're back down here at the garden. Have you dropped the deer shoulder in the pot yet? I'm going to head down here and check it out. Walking down towards the, walking down the big patch of turnip greens here in the back. And I don't know if y'all remember me talking. If you're a regular listener, you did. Philip found us because I was looking for it because I want to do some boiled peanuts. Philip found us a huge, huge, huge kettle, good old cast iron kettle. Thing must be 100 years old. And we've been boiling it out, cleaning it out, getting it sanitized, all that good stuff. But somebody stopped by the homestead today and told Philip that they would trade him a deer shoulder for a couple of bags of turnip greens. So we were like, oh, yeah, absolutely. So I'm out here. Philip's got the big, I think it's about a 15-gallon cast iron kettle. He's got this sucker over the wood fire. He's got it burning good. Let me tell you, we got a good old fire here going underneath this 100-year-old cast iron kettle and fresh wood that we've cut down. And we're going to get that kettle of water just a boiling hot. So those of you who were wondering what we were going to have with our turnip greens today, we've got a fresh deer shoulder that's getting ready to come to a boil here in our 100-year-old cast iron kettle over a wood fire. And then I'm going to go in after the show, and I'm going to make a big round of fresh cornbread and my grandma's Griswold cast iron skillet. So that's what we're going to be having a little bit later after the radio show. Now that all your mouths are drooling and watering for lunch, we have got a good radio show today. But I just wanted to listen to that fire popping. So, so we've got a deer shoulder in the cast iron pot over a wood fire outside here in the garden of cooking. And we got turnip greens with ham hock inside in a cast iron pot on the stove of cooking. And then afterwards, I'm going to make me up a round of good old cornbread in a cast iron skillet that was my grandma's, which we've dated back to about 1932. Oh, my goodness. Let me tell you, if you're anywhere near the ideal area and you want some turnip greens, come on out, because I got a field full of them. Put an ad on Craigslist the other day. Yeah, the roots are coming along pretty good, too. Yep. And, so we've got that going on. So if you're within an hour's drive, I make it worth your while to come on out and pick some good old turnip greens. The collards are coming along pretty good. The mustard greens are coming along. The rutabaga's coming along. The beets are coming along. Me and Jen, actually, last night we had a salad. We got three different types of salad. We got the iceberg head lettuce. We got romaine, and we have bib lettuce. And I cut one of the heads of lettuce there, and last night cut one of it, just pop, and I think we had the bib, and we went in and had a beautiful, beautiful salad before dinner, right out of the garden. And our broccoli is starting to come up, or have little heads of broccoli on it. I don't see any cauliflower yet. The cabbage is starting to curl in there in the center to make some cabbages, but garden's coming along nicely. You can probably hear it's a big old turnip. Oh, the cauliflower is too? Okay. Philip's saying the cauliflower is coming on too. I hadn't seen them. I hadn't looked that close. But yesterday I did saw the broccoli. Have you seen the broccoli? It's coming on real good. And the peas, hope the peas are starting to run along the vines now, so we're hoping we'll get some peas here shortly. And that little clinging in the background, it's a little overcast today. We should be getting some rain overnight. Rain will probably move in after midnight and rain a little bit on the crop, so that's good. Won't have to use my irrigation system. It's good to have it, but we don't want to run it unless we have to. And then we got carrots we got coming up, but that little clanging are the pie pans on our scarecrows. So it's a little breezy here and a little overcast, but we're hoping and praying we'll get a little rain tonight because we're about due for it. And wish I had my live webcam on. You can see this great big bag. It's a plastic grocery store bag stuffed full of turnip greens for Phillip's aunt. And we got the roots are coming on, so once we can harvest the greens, we'll have the big turnip, the turnip root that we'll be able to harvest and sell and cook and dice and all that. And then the collards probably be here, be ready to start harvesting a few of those, just ready for Thanksgiving. So you can have some turnip greens and some collard greens for Thanksgiving supper. And see what else we got. Maybe even some mustard. Somebody might want some mustard greens for Thanksgiving. So we got those as well. So I'm going to head back in. because I know Peter Brown, the chicken doctor, is going to be calling in a minute. I'm walking right next to my post hole digger. That's going to be getting to some use next week. Philip and I are going to start putting in some posts for our fence. It's going to go around the property. And so that sucker will be on the back of the tractor, and we'll be getting that going and using the post hole digger. Probably about Wednesday or Thursday next week, we start putting up a fence. We're going to get all the posts in first. Just take our time, a little bit each week, no big rush. And then we'll go back and get the boards on. So, and I got about a half a bucket of pecans here, and probably about a gallon's worth, maybe a gallon and a half of pecans that were gathered from Jen's mama's backyard. Coming back in the house now. Oh my goodness! This house, I don't know if it's ever smelled so good. Turn that pot of turnip greens down just a little bit. Whew, smells good in here. Let me get back into the room where I'm going to be finishing the show. But I just had to go out and check. That deer shoulder sure did. Out there in that big cast iron kettle. How about that? Hang on a minute now. I'll switch back over. What about the turnip, the temperatures? What are the temperature there? Well, I guess during the day, it's somewhere between 70 and 75. And then in the evenings, it's probably somewhere between 40 and 47, what we got right now. So there we go. Yep, Heather looks like she looked it up. And 73 degrees right here in ideal, low of about 50. Actually, it's been, we got a cold front coming through tonight. And I think Friday it may get down to about 30, 31. Let me go ahead and switch over to my headset. Hang on a minute.
Okay, let me get a test there in the chat room. Alrighty, the chat room's filling up slowly but surely, as it always does. Look at all the guests. Guests, please take a moment and register. Just click on the Register Now button and register with us. And you can get your own unique, fun, and creative screen name. Then you can participate in the chat room as well. If you're afraid to call in and ask your questions for Peter Brown, the chicken doctor, then, of course, you can post them in the chat room. You can't post anything in the chat room as a guest. Just actually monitor what's going on. So, perfect. Yeah, 70 again next week in idea. Why don't we go ahead and do that? Let me head over to the goodness gracious, I got so many pages pulled up on this laptop. Weather. There we go. 10-day. Ooh, tomorrow's supposed to be quite windy. Okay, doesn't look too bad. High of 79 today, in case you were wondering. 79. Low tonight of 51. But boy, that cold front comes through. That cold front comes through tomorrow. It's saying now we're only going to have about a 20% chance of rain. Yesterday it was 30%. But overnight tonight, about a 20% chance of rain. And it's going to be windy. It's going to be windy tomorrow with only a high of 63. So we're going from a high of about 80. Tomorrow, a high of only 63. And then tomorrow night, it looks like it's going to get down to 35. Friday, beautiful and sunny, 64, but a low of 33. And then back to the 70s. In fact, next Monday, high of 80 again and a low of 54. High of 80 this coming Monday. It looks like we might have some rain, maybe a 30% chance of rain next Tuesday and Wednesday. So we've been really lucking out here with the rain in the garden. We've been getting rain probably about once a week, and which is good. And even though we finally got the irrigation in, we will still welcome all the rain we can handle from the clouds above. That's what we're looking for. So a little frost on the collards will make them sweet, Ralph says. Well, that sounds like a plan. Then they'll be good and sweet just in time for Thanksgiving dinner. So, and Midnight was saying that she was looking over at my pics on Facebook on my personal page, and she saw that the ham hocks we put in the turnip greens were from Piggly Wiggly. And she thought that was funny because she didn't think that was a real store or a real brand. But, yeah, Piggly Wigglies do exist, and mostly now in very rural areas. And
There's one just right down the road from here, so I was there yesterday picking up just a few things, and that was on my list. So, hey, Heather. Heather was saying Philip, yep, and, yep, Philip is the man. So, let me go back up here and see some of the comments. Come on now. There we go. Good deal. Good deal. So, yeah, Philip is the man. He's lived down here a long time. He's very educated on planting, farm. He's worked on a lot of farms in his day, cotton and soybean and vegetables, corn. And I've gained a lot of information about my backyard garden from Philip. And he's a great guy. He's a great guy. We're really lucky that we kind of our paths crossed, if you will. And he's been a tremendous help here on the homestead. So it's about 12:27, and we are going to go to a short commercial break. I just wanted to get out a little bit and see how our deer shoulder was going. And but we're going to go to commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to welcome Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor. We'll continue with our topic yesterday and maybe even have a new topic today. And if you want to call, if you have questions, we know you have questions because you post them on our Facebook page a lot. So and other places as well. So if you want to get what we feel is the right answer the first time from experts from around the country, Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer is the place to be. And we'll get to answering all your questions, if there are any. Just give us a call right now. Get in the queue of the switchboard, 347-637-3237. That's 347-637-3237 if you have any chicken health questions for Peter Brown, founder of First State Vet Supply and the Chicken Doctor, and get in queue. We'll be back right after this short break. Looking for something? Find it online at BidBird Auctions. BidBird.com is an online auction service that caters specifically to the poultry, waterfowl, game bird, and pigeon hobbyists. With so many rare and exciting species listed daily and in a wide variety of categories, you'll want to visit often. Join hundreds of the nation's top breeders that have made BidBird Auctions their new home. And get sold on BidBird. When you need an incubator, think Brensea, the incubation specialist. Brensea has been a world-leading manufacturer of incubators for over 30 years. Incubators from 7 to 380 eggs with high-quality electronic and digital controls, including precise humidity control and programmable egg turning, all at surprisingly affordable prices. Visit them online at Brensea.com. Brensea spelled B-R-I-N-S-E-A. That's Brensea.com or call 1-888-667-7009. Enter the coupon code WHISPER at checkout and save 10% on their incubators, brooders, egg handlers, and other incubation accessories. When you need an incubator, think Brensea, technology you can trust. Critter-Cages.com is your one-stop shop for all your critters' housing needs. They stock a wide selection of supplies and equipment for rabbits, guinea pigs, hamsters, mice, rats, ferrets, chinchillas, chickens, and other small critters. Their chicken selection includes chicken barns, chicken coops, and chicken yards from top manufacturers. Your critters will love their selection of quality products, and you'll love their low prices. Visit them online at critter-cages.com. That's critter-cages.com. Ware Manufacturing has been building quality hutches since 1983. Ware manufactures modern chicken hutches, barns, pens, and nest boxes designed especially for the backyard flock. Ware offers hutches and pens for every yard size and every chicken keeper's budget. Visit their website at waremfginc.com. That's waremfginc.com. Or call them to find a retailer near you at 1-888-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-
824-7257. Ware Manufacturing.
It's easy and rewarding to keep backyard chickens, and My Pet Chicken can supply everything you need to get started, including baby chicks, chicken coops, accessories, books, and free how-to information, plus fun gifts and rooster decor. At My Pet Chicken, you can buy as few as 3 baby chicks. They also sell fertile hatching eggs. Visit them online at mypetchicken.com. That's mypetchicken.com.
Alrighty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. It is Wednesday. We do have a special guest today, of course, being Wednesday, Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor. I just posted this in the chat room, but wanted to remind everybody that don't forget, today at 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, the feds are taking over the television and radio airwaves. So just wanted to remind you of that. In fact, over on my personal Facebook page, I'm going to read what I posted. Thought it was quite, quite funny, but could be quite serious. I put, here we go. I said, remember, Big Brother is taking over the airwaves today at 2 p.m. Your television, if you have one, and radio will be taking over by the feds. Sheeple are instructed to follow the directions on the screen and proceed to the nearest FEMA camp, where you will be implanted with a microchip and then given a hot meal. And then, of course, I put, Idol, Real Housewives, and Jersey Shore will be playing 24/7 at the FEMA camp to continue your brainwashing. Remember, this is just a test. And then I put, the hot meal will consist of GMO salmon, GMO corn, and powdered fruit drink mixed with water containing fluoride. So follow the directions on that screen. Proceed to your closest FEMA camp, unarmed, of course. They want all of their peasants unarmed. And head over to the FEMA camp where you receive a hot meal of GMO food and mixed with a fruit-flavored drink mixed in fluoride water. So there you have it, folks. That was my post on my personal page. But today at 2 p.m., they will be taking over and doing this big, massive test. Every channel on every station, radio, television. And let me think how that's going to affect me here at the homestead. About that time, 2 o'clock, I'll probably be taking the cornbread out of the oven and probably cutting me a slice with some real butter, not any margarine chemical junk, and enjoying a piece of homemade cornbread. So that's what I'll be doing. We have no TV. We have one radio in the house that I know of, and it's probably not even plugged in. So there we have it. That's how today's test will affect me. But I wanted to remind you of that just in case you start to panic. This is a test. This is only a test. Okay, but what is not a test is today's show with Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor. We'll bring him on right now. Hey, Peter, thanks for joining us.
Hey, Andy, how you doing?
I am doing pretty good, I think I'll go buy some extra canned goods for this test at 2 o'clock.
You make me laugh.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, you know, if you can't laugh about it, if you can't laugh, you just have to cry. So.
You best be careful because, you know, they monitor the sites. You'll be in their radar soon.
Man, soon? Shoot, I'm probably on every possible list they've got, so I don't doubt it one bit. Oh, is that chicken skin?
I, on the other hand, choose to be listless. I understand where you're coming from, though.
Funny.
I agree. I just don't espouse it all the time. So it's. Sometimes it's easier to let you younger folk run with the ball.
There you go. I understand. Go ahead.
Is Pat still there today, or is she still out sneezing and coughing?
She's still out. I think she's getting better, but what makes this a bad week is that tomorrow I think she's flying out to Kansas, to Wichita, for the ALBC annual meeting, slash convention that they're having out there for a few days. But then right after that, I don't know if she comes back home or if she from there flies out to the West Coast, but I think she's having a West Coast book tour as well. So it just she just got sick at the wrong time.
Oh, wow.
And
yeah.
So even as tempting to have her yap all day on the radio show, she needs these days off to, as you know, recuperate so she can – because she's teaching, I think, a class or a workshop at ALBC and then going on a book tour. So we want to make sure she gets well for all of that. So
yeah, I wish her all the best. We had some fun at the Crossroads show, and I had met her once before, but it was a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's good to, you know, to put the name and the face together. She sounds deeper in voice on the radio than she does in person. I wonder why that would be, but she doesn't seem to have as deep a voice when you're talking to her face-to-face as she does on the radio. Kind of an interesting footnote.
She does have that trademark laugh, though. If you can ever get it to giggle or laugh, then
she does.
You'll know it's Pat Forman real quick. As they say in the chat room, when she laughs, or you know, and sometimes she'll get a little carried away and can't stop laughing, which is sometimes funny. Well, gotta love that. So
I may be stopping in at your house for dinner. Sounds like you're doing pretty well down there.
I'm trying. It was funny. I actually had Caleb in the garden this morning walking around, and a guy pulled up, and Philip handled all the transaction and everything. And by the time I got back up around by the street, he said, "Yeah, that guy came down and he traded us a fresh deer shoulder for a couple of bags of turnip greens." I said, "Well, that sounds like a fair trade to me." So, you know,
sounds like what was always been done in the old days, bartering.
Yeah, the best way. Can't beat that. And so he said, "I think I'm going to gather some wood and boil that sucker in the crock pot. I mean, in the old cast iron." I said, "Hey, knock yourself out. That sounds like a plan. I think there may be a bag of turnip greens." And I'll go in and fix some turnip greens because I was going to fix them last night, but I didn't want to go through the ordeal. So, so it looks like we'll have some deer shoulder and some turnip greens, and I'll fix some cornbread after the show, and I might even do some black-eyed peas. We'll just have to see.
The black-eyed peas I've had before, the turnip greens, no.
Yeah, I understand. I'll be honest, this is the first time I've ever cooked them. God, they smell good. But
living here where I live, on the eastern shore of Maryland, I live on a peninsula. The top of it's Delaware. The middle where I live is Maryland. And the bottom part is Virginia. And so we got a lot of wetlands and so on. You got the Atlantic Ocean to the east and then the Chesapeake Bay to the west. And one of the big deals around here is muskrat season.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, anything you got to cover up with sage and anything else to get it down your gullet, more power to you. If that's what you want, and all the little tiny bones, and there's a couple of restaurants here in town that will serve it. And, I mean, you think they were giving it away. There's a line out the door, and you can't get in to eat a regular meal because everybody's eating this other stuff. And yeah, I looked it up online to see what it looked like. I said, "I ain't eating anything. I might as well go in the bar and eat some rats." But hey, you know, it's whatever you like, and you know, they seem to enjoy it. But from what I've been told, a lot of salt, a lot of pepper, and a lot of sage, so and things of that nature. So just not my cup of tea.
Yeah, I was talking to a guy yesterday. Actually, I went down and there's about 13 pecan trees, and her mom, as many folks know, bought the house kind of behind us, and it's about 13 pecan trees. So we were down. I said, "I'm going to go down. I'm going to shoot try to see if I can't get a couple of squirrels because Philip likes to cook squirrel on the grill." And I went down there. Those creatures, you want to talk about smart? They see you coming, and if you have a pellet gun, they see you coming from even further. and then they have a keen sense to know when you're pumping that pellet gun up exactly what that means, and it apparently means to immediately run to the closest tree, get on the opposite side of the tree from where this man is coming from, and if all else fails, get as high up in the tree in a between
It's amazing how they just they know, and I guess it's taught for holy cow. It's quite the challenge.
I may send you up or send you down some actually, but we're loaded with them here, and they run free, or, you know, obviously everywhere, and but so damn destructive. I mean, you know, I've got a small building out here, and they just eat the brick molding right off the side of it.
Oh, jeez.
I mean, it's you know, every 2 or 3 years they got to replace the brick molding because they've eaten it right down to the, you know, past where the nails are, and you know, you can't put a plastic trash can out here. You might as well forget about it. They just eat right through the top, and then you come home, and there's trash all over the place because they've been in it, and you know, it's just. I probably got here at least 15 or 20 of them, and you're right. You come out, and the tail starts wagging a little bit. That's the signal for everybody else to hightail it and go around the opposite side of the tree, and so on and so forth. Because I wouldn't shoot them anyway, but that's not the point. It's they're very, very destructive. I don't know about down by you, but here they are, and. Maybe it's just because they're Yankee squirrels. I don't know. That could be. So, what are we going to do today? Do we have anybody that wants to talk, or are we going to do it from this end?
Let me see. Let's go from that end right now. I don't have anybody in queue, and no questions yet posted in the chat room. If you have a question anytime, just in the chat room, just post it in all caps for Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor, and we'll go ahead and get started.
Okay, one of the things that struck me at Crossroads was the amount of people who came to my tables and wanted to discuss coccidiosis. I know we've been through it maybe about a year or so ago, I think now. We went all through it and talked about it and so on and so forth, but it is one of the number one, if not the number one, killer of chickens, in my opinion. And it's worth going over some of the things you can do, medications you can use, vaccine that's available, and things of that nature. So to me, it is the most misunderstood of all of the poultry diseases, because people think, number one, using a medicated feed is going to take care of it, and in some instances it does. But in the majority of them, it does not. The other thing is that people think that once they use the medicated feed and they get the birds off of that onto a grower that is not medicated, that their problems with coccidiosis go away. And again, in some cases that may be, where the birds were allowed to build the proper amount of natural immunity to the specific coccidia on the premise, and in other cases it's not so. The birds get off of it, and within 10 days, 2 weeks, they come back down with coccidiosis and that kind of thing. So I thought we'd just run through some of the symptoms. Generally, we look at malaise, or birds that are once running around and scurrying around from place to place, and all of a sudden, now today, they're standing around, droopy-winged maybe. You can run over, pick them up, where normally you'd have to get a catch net or chase them around the yard or things of that nature. So we start to see that fluffing up. You may have a bird that decides it's going to stay on the roost or stay in the corner of the coop and not come out and play with everybody else. This is not normal, as we all know, and generally can be, but not always, a sign of coccidiosis. Standing on one leg, falling asleep, standing up in the middle of the day, generally they're not sunning themselves. Generally they are sick. Coccidiosis is caused by a protozoa, which is a single-celled animal. And protozoa meaning basically that it needs a host in order to multiply in, and in this case that would be the chicken. It's a disease that stays basically in the intestines, and when we went over the intestinal digestive system a few weeks back, we talked about some of that. But it's devastating. It destroys the lining of the intestine. If you were to look at the intestine under a microscope, you would see these little waving wands back and forth, going right to left, left to right. And in the middle of those, at the bottom, where they form a V and touch the actual wall of the intestine, that's where all of your basic absorption of the amino acids and the vitamins and the minerals and the protein and carbohydrates takes place. The coccidial organism has a tendency to destroy those, and then you end up with an intestinal wall that is severely damaged and not able to absorb the nutrients the way that it should. And so the bird becomes compromised in many ways. They stop eating. And again, the just standing around, the lethargy of the bird and all of these things, they all should point to you that something is terribly wrong. And again, it isn't always coccidiosis. One of the questions I get from folks lots of times is, can it be only a few birds in a flock? Yes, it can. The more concentrated the birds are, meaning not allowed to go outside or cooped up in a particular run and things like this, or inclement weather, rain for a whole week, so to speak, or freezing temperatures and foot-deep snow where the birds are inside, those droppings are now concentrated, and if anybody was having anything in their droppings that was going to cause trouble, that's when it starts. Couple of things, moisture and temperature, heat, are your enemy in this thing. They will make the oocysts that are causing this coccidia multiply very, very rapidly. Depending on the species of coccidia, infection can take place in as little as 4, 5, 6, 7 days. So it doesn't take long for this stuff to get, you know, really rolling within a flock and really cause some severe intestinal problems. Now, the whole idea of medicating birds with a medicated feed is to give them a low level of the medication so that it allows them to be exposed to the coccidia to a degree that allows their immune system then to build some immunity naturally to the coccidia. Because the main ingredient in these feeds is amprolium, or amprol, however you want to look at it, it's been around for so many years that widespread resistance to it is now the order of the day. So bearing that in mind, you will need to look at other alternative things when you can go back and put amprol in the water, even though the birds may be on the amprol medicated feed. It will not hurt them, over a long period of time maybe, but for a short period of time, week or two, or 10 days or so, it's not going to bother them whatsoever. The way that the amprol works is by mimicking thiamin, which is a B vitamin that the oocysts that are causing the coccidia need to survive. The oocysts ingest it. It's not the thiamin that they thought it was, and they then die. The problem is they figured it out, and they don't always ingest it and die. They've changed their habits, as have many other bacteria. The United States basically is the leader in antibiotic resistance due to overuse of antibiotics across the board. So looking at it from that standpoint, you need to just keep an eye on your birds. Now, the other misnomer that people often get caught up in, well, I looked at the droppings, the birds were just standing around and not eating and everything else, and I didn't see any blood, so I never thought I had coccidiosis. Well, not all species of coccidia cause bleeding in the intestine. Sometimes even the ones that cause it don't cause enough. It depends on the severity of it. It depends on which ones you have, and so on. So you may not see any blood. There's also this deal out there where people say, well, the intestine, maybe some of it's naturally sloughing off. Not long term. And generally, if there's going to be a sloughing off of the intestine, you don't see the other symptoms. You don't see the malaise, the lethargy, the standing on one leg, the fluffiness, the droopy wings, the falling asleep standing up, and that kind of stuff. So, you know, learn the symptoms, and you'll have a healthier, happier flock. You'll be happier because you won't lose any birds. And then they'll grow at a normal rate for you, whether they're birds that you're growing to put in the freezer, or they're birds that are just for your personal enjoyment running around, or birds that are for your egg-laying purposes, or a combination thereof. So by keeping this very simple, it's not a complex disease at all, for the most part. Understanding, that it is all of the different mechanics of it, the blood and the droppings, the sloughing off of the intestine. The sloughing off of the intestine would not happen over a great period of time, and again, not cause all of those other symptoms. So that should help you make a determination that something is wrong.
A couple of questions in the chat room as I scroll down here. Can this disease transfer to the whole flock from one infected chicken?
Yeah, it's possible, and generally that's how it starts. Mm-hmm. Don't forget, it's shed in the droppings. And again, that's why I mentioned if you have birds that are out free-ranging all day, generally, unless somebody has a specific case of coccidiosis all by itself, it's not necessarily going to infect the rest of the flock. It can, but if they're bunching themselves up in a particular area, they all find something while they're free-ranging that they all like, and they're all digging and stuff over there because they eat their own droppings, whether by design at times or whether by accident. Your birds are out free-ranging today, and you coop them up tonight. Most of them are going to go up on the roost.
Mm-hmm.
And when you let them out in the morning, especially if you're feeding them outside in an outdoor feeder, they're not going to hang around in there and dig around in litter. They're going to go outside where the food and the water is. So you bypass that. Certainly, that's generally how it happens. A couple of birds pick it up, and here it comes. The method of spread, God only knows.
Mm-hmm.
It can be your neighbor coming over talking to you, and he's got chickens, and he brings it on his feet, or their chickens are running loose with yours and spreading it around. I mean, just think of a way that something can be spread, and that's probably how it happens. Let me say this. It is not going to happen from free-flying birds.
Mm-hmm.
From the perspective that bird being infected and crapping on your property and then your bird ingesting that, no, not going to happen. And the reason that doesn't happen is because coccidiosis is host-specific. So the species of coccidia that may affect a songbird or a crow
mm-hmm.
will not infect your chickens and vice versa.
Or if your dog goes and eats the poop of your
chicken,
then it's not
right. He may get sick from something else that might have been in there, but coccidia will not transfer. And same thing for your dog. I mean, if he's out and about in the yard and does his business over in a corner, and a chicken happens to take a liking to it, hey, who knows? Especially as it becomes dry and loses its moisture and so on, they'll eat anything. And if he had coccidiosis, it would not transfer. Again, it is host specific, which thank God for that. And human coccidiosis will not transfer either. So and turkeys have their own, pigeons have their own, all different species. Chickens seem to have the most. Not sure about cattle. I know cattle have it, but I don't know how many species of coccidiosis they have in relation to chickens.
Heather asked in the chat room, how long can a chicken live with this? Possibly months. And let's see, I asked this as I'm wondering about a hen that she has. So how long could they possibly live with this?
Generally speaking, depending, again, on the species of coccidia that it has, the more aggressive, the less time a bird will have without treatment. I've seen them go after infection within 4 or 5 days. I've seen others hang around for 2 or 3 weeks. Because once they get to the point where they stop eating, then they really go downhill because they start pulling every vitamin, mineral, protein, and everything else out of their body. And then once you get to the point where the different organs in the body, the kidneys mainly, start to shut down, they're done. And so if you've got a bird that's been sick for a month or so, number one, my question would be, how come you've let it go that long without trying to get a remedy for it? But that's another story. But by the same token, generally they do not last that long, even if they have one of the minor species of coccidia.
Would you think it's a safe statement to say that, I don't like the word most, but maybe a great deal of coccidia could be prevented by good husbandry practices?
Oh, no question about it. No question about it. No question about it. A too clean coop will be detrimental to you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this idea of pigeon people have the same problem because pigeon people will go into a loft two or three times a day and scrape the droppings off, and then some of them will take a propane tank with a torch on the end and actually torch the floor. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they are a different breed of cat altogether. And a lot of the problems become associated with, problems that they inflict upon themselves. And the same thing can happen, and let me explain why, because people might say, well, you know, the cleaner it is, isn't it the better? No. The way that immunity is maintained within the bird after treatment or after you've gotten them off of the medicated feed is by constant re-exposure to the same species of coccidia that they were exposed to build the immunity that they have in the first place. So here's another one for you. Andy's got chickens, and I've got chickens.
Mm-hmm.
And Andy's had treated his birds for coccidiosis, and so have I. I have one or two strains of coccidia that Andy doesn't have, but I've got a rooster that Andy really likes, okay? And I gift it to Andy. Unknowingly, I've kind of done him a disservice because the bird is now going to shed a different species of coccidia into the manure at Andy's place. Now, if it takes hold, everybody else is going to get coccidiosis, and you're going to walk around scratching your head going, how can this be? I didn't have this before. No, and the reason because is your birds were immunized to the specific coccidia that was on that farm at that time. Now that you've introduced a new person to the crowd, you've now got a problem. Okay? So that's how that type of stuff gets going, because I handle that question lots of times. People call me and say, hey, you know, I never had this problem until I got a bird from Harry. You know, and I've said it before to people, and I had folks come up to me at Crossroads. You know, I just bought a bird in the sale barn, and I just looked at its eye. You've bought it now, mind you, and you've now just looked at its eye. So I think some people get enthralled by the feathering or something. I don't know what the hell it is, but you know, to me, I want to flip him upside down, look at his butt. I want to look for, you know, mites and everything else, and so on and so forth. And you know, look in their eyes and their nose and in their mouth and their ears. And I want to make sure there's nothing going on before I put my money out for a bird, if that's what I'm going to do. But to come to my table and tell me that you've already bought a bird and now he's got something going on in its eye, what can you do?
Yeah.
You know, I said before, and you know, I know it's tough sometimes. You know, I've been down that road with dogs and stuff. You know that you know, and you know, you want it so bad that you're willing to overlook the initial problem, and then after you get the animal home, you find out that you know you really didn't need this problem, and I guess we're all guilty of it to some degree. But you know, like I said before, if you go to somebody's premise to buy birds, and the place looks shabby and you know, junk all over and everything else, either back out of the driveway real fast and make you believe you were never there. That's something you could do. Or if you're already out of the car and being shown around, be courteous, be nice and everything else, but beg off and get out of Dodge because you're going to bring something home you're not going to want. And I hear that all the time.
Yeah. What do you recommend? Because I hear that not all the time. I hear it, you know, I don't even know if I, you know, frequently, but on occasion, and someone posted on a Facebook page, you know, we went to go look at some birds, and the surroundings were awful, and some had, you know, swollen eyes shut, and mm-hmm. some had, you know, it was just, you know, you've heard it before.
Yep.
And then they say, what would you do? What should I do? Should I report it to the authorities, the SPCA, the local humane? You know, what do you tell them to do if they ask you that, Peter?
First off, I am a neutral person. It is not my job, nor did the good Lord come down and make me the overseer of everybody and everything.
Mm-hmm.
When I see it, I just leave, go. And just beg off, like I said. I mean, it's not up to me to turn him in.
Right.
It's just not. You know, you know, you got a big controversy going on at Penn State right now, and I, you know, I mean, I just feel that certain people there, and I'm not mentioning names, they did their part for the most part, and there are other people there that dropped the ball. So when you get on a farm and you see that this person can't take care of the outside, you have to wonder what's going on the inside. I mean, when I worked in the commercial sector, you know, selling vaccines, I'd go to a farm and the guy was getting a subsidy to keep his farm going and everything else. And you go in there and you'd start walking down the row and the corner of on the feed chain has got a hole in it and got 3 feet of feed laying on the ground. Why do you need to subsidize him? He shouldn't be in business. You know, I mean, if you want to turn them in, if it makes you feel better, that's fine. But generally, I leave it up to people themselves. But I am not the watchkeeper. You know, you just have to look at it that way. I mean, if you go to somebody's place and, you know, especially if you go in the coop and it's even worse and swollen faces and swollen heads and stuff, that's not comfortable for a human, let alone a chicken. You know, and you know, you might even want to tell a person, say, hey, look, you know, I'm sorry, but these birds aren't healthy. You might think they're healthy, but you know, you better go get yourself a disease book, take a good look at what you got. But that ends up in a urinating contest, you know, and you start a whole can of worms. You know, don't tell me what to do. And sometimes you're just better off to go away. Now, if you want to go and turn them into the authorities, that's fine. But I've said it on the show before. When you get there, run like hell. I mean, it's the only thing you can do. And if you bring it home, I know so many people that have had wonderful flocks of birds that never really were sick that till this day are still experiencing problems years after they brought home the Trojan horse. It just isn't worth it.
Right.
Just isn't worth it.
That's a little after one. It is now time for a commercial break. If you're just tuning in, we are talking live with Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor and founder of First State Vet Supply, and we're talking about coccidiosis. So, again, I want to open up the phone lines. If you have any questions for Peter Brown, 347-637-3237. That's 347-637-3237. Or post your questions, whether they're coccidiosis questions or not, in the chat room. Use all caps, so we know you want your question on the air. And we'll be back right after this short break. Critter-Cages.com is your one-stop shop for all your critters' housing needs. They stock a wide selection of supplies and equipment for rabbits, guinea pigs, hamsters, mice, rats, ferrets, chinchillas, chickens, and other small critters. Their chicken selection includes chicken barns, chicken coops, and chicken yards from top manufacturers. Your critters will love their selection of quality products, and you'll love their low prices. Visit them online at critter-cages.com. That's critter-cages.com.
You have the chickens, the coop, and the run, but do you have the egg cartons? Don't put your beautiful farm fresh eggs in any old used grocery store egg carton. Impress your friends with your very own custom labeled egg cartons from eggcartons.com. They have a large selection of custom egg cartons, stamps, and labels to choose from. Pick out your new custom egg cartons at eggcartons.com. That's eggcartons.com.
First State Vet Supply is your one-stop shop to keep your birds healthy and happy. They have a wide selection of medications, vaccines, vitamins, wormers, and much more. Every product comes with specific directions and doses for your small backyard flock. Have questions about a sick or injured chicken? Take advantage of First State Vet Supply's Ask the Chicken Doctor program. For just $25, you can have a personal phone consultation with Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor. The consultation fee is waived if you purchase a product from First State Vet Supply. Visit them online at firststatevetsupply.com. That's firststatevetsupply.com.
Hey, it's the Chicken Whisperer. If you're in the market for a new incubator, then look no further than GQF. They have a great selection of tabletop and cabinet-style incubators at prices you can afford. I love my GQF Genesis Model 1588. It has a large picture window and an automatic thermostat, which makes for a better hatch every time. Go pick out your new incubator at GQFradio.com. That's GQFradio.com.
Pictures of chickens on aprons are common across America, but picture a chicken wearing an apron and you'll probably get a good chuckle. Laugh if you must, but nothing protects hens better than the Hen Saver Hen Apron. Hen Saver Hen Aprons protect your hens from the damage caused by an overly affectionate rooster and may even provide protection from an unexpected hawk attack. Hen Savers come in several different sizes to fit both bantam and standard-sized hens and roosters. Colors include camo, denim, navy, brown, khaki or black, and soon pink. Crazy K Farm is expanding its already colorful Hen Saver collection to include the color pink. A portion of their sales will be donated to organizations that fund breast cancer research and awareness. Order your Hen Saver aprons today at hensaver.com. That's hensaver.com.
If you're looking for a unique gift idea for that dog, cat, horse, or chicken lover, then look no further than HobbyHillFarm.com. They have a wide selection of gifts for both the home and farm. My favorite is the chicken noodle soup with noodles shaped like chickens. I'm sure you'll find everything you're looking for at HobbyHillFarm.com. That's HobbyHillFarm.com.
Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at mounthealthy.com, that's mthealthy.com, or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks.
Thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. And let me see what we got here. We have a question here. Let me go ahead and bring Peter back live here on the show. We're talking with Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor, founder of First State Vet Supply. Let's see. We've got, hi, new here. Bought a peahen at a local auction. And she now has a swollen eye, like y'all were talking about. She does not seem to be missing any meals, but it has to be miserable for her. I have been giving her duramycin and apple cider vinegar, and that's all we have. So we've got a peafowl, a peahen with a swollen eye. Okay. Duramycin and apple cider vinegar is what right now that she's been given.
We see this lots of times, and I don't know exactly why it happens. Seems to me anyway to happen more in peafowl and turkeys than it does in chickens as a single bird entity. But generally, we call that sinusitis. We talked about it, I believe, last week or on Monday. This could be caused by a number of different things. It's usually bacterial, could be fungal, but 90% of the time or better, it's a bacteria. The birds pick it up generally from something that hits them in the eye or something along those lines. Could even be something that might have been in the water that was left behind by another bird or another animal, a disease organism, E. coli for one, Pseudomonas for another. So we talked about this last week, and we talked about putting the if they have the duramycin, it's a very weak. Let me give everybody a little lesson here, and real quick, because it's very, very important when you're medicating birds. Duramycin is generally a trade name for oxytetracycline. Oxytetracycline was the active ingredient in the product called terramycin that's now not available in the 6.4-ounce bag. But most people will buy things by weight or cost versus weight. So if you look at the duramycin, you've got a 6.4-ounce bag. That's 181.4 grams. And I put it in grams to you because the active ingredient is listed on a bag in grams. So you've got this huge bag, 181.4 grams, okay, considering, if you will, that 454 grams is a pound. So you've got close to half a pound of material here, but you only have 10 grams of oxytetracycline in that whole bag, okay? So that means you've got 171.4 grams of nada, nothing. And so because the directions say to take it and put it in 128 gallons of water or whatever, you're going to be hesitant, and you're going to get out your spoon, and you're going to put a quarter of a teaspoon in the gallon of water, or you're going to put a teaspoon in, and you're going to think you're doing something. You know, it's okay. I'm not mocking you. What the hell do you know? I had to learn it the hard way too. But the point of it is that the product is useless in that concentration. My advice to anybody that buys a bag of duramycin is to get yourself the biggest tablespoon you have in your drawer and act like a coal shovel and get in that bag and get all you can on it and put it in a gallon of water, and you might be doing something. Okay? To give you a comparison, just a comparison now, I sell Oxytet 343. It's a generic brand. It's 280 grams, but it's got 102.4 grams of oxytetracycline in the bag. Now you're doing something, okay? That one bag sells for $9.50. We used to buy a bag of terramycin before it went off the market for $6.50, $7, and we paid that much for 10 grams. And now you've got this one bag that I sell, other people sell it too, is equal on a active ingredient basis to 10 bags of the duramycin and or the old terramycin. So then you would take anywhere from 1 to 2 teaspoons in a gallon of water, and it would be, you'd be right there doing something real well with it. But the knock against terramycin always was, well, I used it, didn't get anywhere, and that's why you didn't get anywhere, because there's nothing in the bag. It's a big bag of nothing. So for this person with the bird that has this sinusitis problem, I would take and put a good heaping tablespoon in a gallon of water, and I would run that out for maybe 10 days. I would get a hold of some Thailand 50. We talked about this the other day, about nasal flushing, and I encouraged anybody that wanted the written directions for that to send me an email, and I would send it right out to them, and I will let you know now that only one person responded to that offer. The offer still stands if you've forgotten about it or didn't get around to it. But you take the Thailand and you mix it up with about 30 cc's of sterile water that you can boil on the stove. I put two cc's of Thailand in with that, mix it up, take a syringe without a needle, pull up some of it in there and put it right up against the nostril and back flush it through and force it out the mouth. Keep the mouth open, head down so you don't aspirate the bird. And if you don't have any eye ointment, get some. And in the meantime, you take another clean syringe, take a little bit of Thailand in that syringe, pull the bottom eyelid of the eye out and make a cup, put one or two drops in that cup and pull it up over the eyelid, hold it there for 15 to 20, 30 seconds, and do that two or three times a day, and I think you'll find that that will make a dramatic improvement in the in this sinusitis problem with this bird.
And let me see here. We've got, I don't know if this is the person calling or not, but we're going to go to area code 734. 734, state your name, state you're calling from, and your question for Peter Brown.
Hi, I am actually the Canuck Nursing. I'm the one with the peahen.
Okay, great, great.
My name is Barb.
Thank you
this
very
has
much
been going on now for months, and I've tried increasing the doses. The Tylan, where is that available over the counter, or there's no vets here that where I live that'll touch chickens or birds of any kind?
Well, we sell it online, or you can use LA-200, either one. Basically, you can use any injectable antibiotic. It really doesn't matter. We want to use injectable because they're basically sterile and not going to add to the situation. The powders are gritty and messy to be putting into the nostrils, so I wouldn't do that.
Is it preferable to actually inject the birds or no?
Yes and no. I mean, if the bird is going to be drinking and it's eating, I think you already stated that. I think I'd go ahead with that. I'll tell you what. What state are you in?
I'm in Michigan.
Okay. If you send me an email at chickendr at firststatevetsupply.com, I'll send you a couple of Baytril tablets to try.
Wonderful. I appreciate
okay.
it.
How big a bird is this?
She weighs about 12, 15 pounds.
Okay. All right. I think I've got enough left in this bottle here. I can send you, six or eight of them and give it to her 4 or 5 days. She can take a half a tablet twice a day without any problem whatsoever, and just put it down her throat. But you need to do something for the eye. So I would see if you can go to Tractor Supply or something, or go online wherever, and buy the if nothing else, the Terramycin eye ointment. Something's better than nothing, but you've got to get that under control. The longer that goes, and the eye turns an opaquish white, the bird can be blind in that eye. I can't say it is or it isn't at this point, but it is extremely uncomfortable and needs to be remedied just as quick as possible.
Appreciate it. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Give us that email address again, Doc.
It's chicken, chickendr, at first, FIRST, state, STATE, vet, VET, supply, SUPPLY .com.
Perfect. Very, very good.
And then, for those that want the nasal flushing directions, just I think the person that got it last time, they will probably vouch in the room. They got it back within 10 or 15 seconds of posting it to me, and that may not happen today, but it certainly by the end of the day you will have it.
And they were asking that Tylan offer. What was that again? And because they missed it, and they wanted to take advantage of that.
For that woman there is going to give us some Baytril tablets. I just happen to have some in a bottle, that I could give to her without any problem. As far as the Thailand is concerned, it's just something you can buy on the website.
Gotcha. Very good. Okay.
She's got one bird. And I know how it is to get one bird is sick and to buy $50 worth of medication to take care of it. These Baytril tablets are not cheap, but in this particular bottle, I just happen to have four, five, six left in there, and I don't mind giving them away.
Very cool. That's awesome. And see, this is a perfect example of how awesome it is to be associated with First State Vet Supply and of course Peter Brown, because you order from somebody else. And like I said, when he was talking about the medication where you mix into an 128 gallons of water and you have this product for $6, this product for $9, and all that experience is worth something, folks. And when you call in and say, hey, I want this, and then, he's going to be the one that says, well, why do you want that? What are you using it for? well, here, this is much better. This is a better value. That's not going to do anything. You want to deliver it this way. Where you know, if you find it, let's face it, you find it for a dollar cheaper somewhere, it's not going to end up being a dollar cheaper. But also, everything that you buy from First State Vet Supply actually has the dosage for, you know, per bird, per small flock versus a flock of 80,000 in a commercial setting. So what's, you know, what's a dollar, especially when you're going to get that information and possibly save a lot more than that with the knowledge or maybe a different product that would really help your bird or your flock than something else you just found on a forum or someone on a forum said, oh, well, you need to give this in their water, when maybe an ointment or an injectable would be much better. And now you've wasted that much money to begin with. You've wasted time. You may now have your flock dead because you didn't get the right information the first time. So it's, you know, what's a dollar worth to you? So firststatevetsupply.com. firststatevetsupply.com, and of course chickendr at firststatevetsupply.com. And of course, as you hear on our commercials we play daily, he's got the chicken consultation program. You just heard the lady. There's no vets in her area that will see her chickens or her birds. There's no avian vets in her area. And so, and that's probably fits the majority of everybody in America, since there's only about 200 certified avian vets on the whole North American continent. And of course, so, that's, what a great resource to have at a First State Vet Supply. firststatevetsupply.com. And Peter Brown, that's why we're so fortunate to have him on the radio show every single Monday here on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. Okay, let me see if there's any, we have time really for one last question. Let me see if we check the if you're calling in, we saw someone had called in. If you want to talk with Peter Brown, press 1. If you're in queue and you've called in and you're just listening, stay where you're at. Do whatever you're doing. But if you've called in and have a question for Peter, go ahead and press 1 on your phone so we'll know you have a question for Peter Brown versus just calling in to actually listen. And we have time again maybe for one more question, so if we'll check the chat room too. If you have a question in the chat room, go ahead and post that right now and post that in all caps. I'll scroll up and see if we see anything. Anything else? Ah, here's a good one. I have one hen with neon green poop, and it says, she said, is anything wrong in that particular case? Do you recommend getting maybe take a sample to our local vet and see if they can test it?
What I would suggest generally speaking, when you get what we call a fluorescent green dropping, it usually means that the bird has stopped eating. What you're generally getting is some of the digestive juices from the intestinal tract and the bile from the liver and gallbladder, and it's not being mixed with any feed, so it comes out. And the more it goes fluorescent, the closer the bird generally is to dying. In actuality, it's been my experience that once you start seeing the fluorescent green type dropping, the bird generally has, you know, one foot in a banana peel and the other one in the sky. So I would find the bird. I would make sure the bird is eating, and keeping the bird hydrated can keep the bird alive till you figure out what's going on. Sometimes just feeding them and getting the system going before the kidneys shut down, because once the kidneys shut down, you can put all the food and water you want in them, and they're not going anywhere. It's just like humans. You know, once your kidneys shut down, if they can't jumpstart them, you're done. And this is kind of the same thing. So it's very, very important. Sometimes tetracycline capsules will work, depending on the size of the bird. If it's a bantam-type bird, I would give one 250-milligram tetracycline capsule, but with plenty of water, and I would also tube feed the bird. We went over the other day how to tube feed, how easy it really is to do, you know, once you get yourself set up. But we see this lots of times. It's called the greens. That's what we call it, because of that fluorescent green dropping. In my opinion, yes, there is something wrong. Exactly what, I don't know. Generally, it's bacterial, but not always. Could be something the bird ate, especially when it's only one out of an entire flock. I mean, I've seen it many times, even back when I had birds of my own. You know, one bird go off, found something somewhere, and you go over there and drinking water out of some can or something that might have been laying around or a puddle or whatever, and God only knows what's in that. And letting your bird eat off the top of the compost pile or the bottom of it is not a good idea. It may have been doing it for a long time, but one of these days it's going to come back to bite you, and it usually does. Most of the time when the birds that die, they're always your best ones. They're never the clunkers out in the yard. They just don't. The clunkers just, they keep right on clicking and put the, and generally that has to do with the immune system itself. It's the fight or flight type syndrome, and when birds are really under pressure and high key, the immune system has a tendency to shut down a little bit, and that's when they become more vulnerable. And it's like that for humans. It's like that for almost every other species. But I would definitely look at tube feeding the bird or feeding it and making sure it's getting its fair share of the feed and see if you can't get it going and see what you can do about turning those droppings around. On occasion, if you're getting a fully formed dropping that is really, really green, that's just a bird eating a lot of greens. But I didn't get that from the conversation here. This was a bright... Okay. You know, things. I think it's more along of what we would call the greens.
Okay. All righty. Well, we've got less than 2 minutes left, so we're going to go ahead and wrap it up. Peter, thank you very much for joining us, and we had comments in the chat room. Always learn so much when Peter is on the show, so we thank you for all of your time. It's awesome. We learned so much from you, and we'll see you back here on Monday.
I'll be there.
Thank you so much. Have a great afternoon. Alrighty, that's been another show of Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. We will return tomorrow. In fact, tomorrow we've got Richard Frudenberger, publisher of Back Home Magazine. Richard Frudenberger, publisher of Back Home Magazine, will be here. And then, of course, Friday, Fun Friday. We're slowly inching towards that Fun Friday this week, and we can do it with a lot more fun, and it'll get here a lot faster if you join us every day right here at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. And don't forget, today at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, that's 30 more minutes from now, 30 minutes from now, the feds will be taking over your television and radio airwaves for a test run of the emergency broadcast system. So just want to remind you of that. That's here in just a few minutes. And 30 minutes from now, 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So we'll return tomorrow right here on Blog Talk Radio. With Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. And, of course, we send our thoughts and prayers and vibes and energy towards Pat, that she has a good recovery from illness and will be able to get on the road safely and healthy out to the ALBC conference in Wichita. So until tomorrow, on behalf of myself, Pat Foreman, our guest today, Peter Brown, the Chicken Doctor, may the flock be with you always and forever, and we'll see you tomorrow. Ha ha.